This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
And good morning, San Diego. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. And we are here to discuss weather, astronomical events, and things that may be going on in your yard and garden. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Morning.
Yeah,
let's get that order, but yeah. About.
Okay, well, let's...
You know, the title is Garden Talk, so
yeah.
Eventually we'll get to that part.
Eventually. Okay. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm good so far. You're shaking your head already, Mark?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little early.
Well, I rode in with you.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good morning, gentlemen. Did you guys notice the alignment of planets this morning?
I did, actually. It was clear.
I didn't until you told me about it.
Okay. And Brendan, I don't think, bothered to look at the planets, even though we suggested looking out the eastern windows. But you could see them all, and the moon was there. The only thing I missed from the Kinfecta was the space station. I didn't see the space station go by.
Was it supposed to be in southern skies?
Well, it said in Southern California, okay. But that encompasses a pretty broad area. So I didn't get my email alert telling me it was on its way, so I'm assuming it was other parts of Southern California.
Yeah, the planets were gorgeous.
The morning sky was beautiful, and we had about a half of a moon, approximately.
It was chilly, though, I thought. No, it was 49 degrees, and that's a little chilly for some of us.
I dispute that.
Well, no, you can't dispute whether I thought it was chilly or not.
No, but I could dispute the 49 degrees, because that's a solid number
fact.
That's
what it said on the temperature.
Well, I don't doubt that either. I'm just saying it might be wrong, because I'm in short sleeves.
You are in short sleeves.
And short sleeves.
Yeah. Short sleeves.
Yes. And it wasn't that bad.
Well, I always say that I don't have enough body fat to stay warm. I'm not implying anything with that conversation. Just saying I don't.
Oh, so I do have a little. Is that what? Is that?
Not perhaps implying anything. You can take away what you want
exactly.
with it.
Exactly.
Listen to body shaming here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ.
With your host.
I am still David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Did you guys enjoy the rain night before last?
It rained.
No, it was last. No, night no, before last.
Yeah, before last. Yes, I did. It was certainly welcome. Now, I know that it wasn't a lot of rain, but it was enough to dust off the leaves and cool things off a little bit.
Do you remember the sound the trees make when the dust gets knocked off of them?
Because I do now, yes.
Okay, do you want to try and do it?
I want to hear it from you. That's the sound.
That's the sound.
No, it woke me up, I can tell you that.
Well, do you know what woke me up was I went to bed with my sliding glass door open, and the wind was blowing the screen. I mean, the screen door, I could hear it rattling against the frame. That's what woke me up. I did not notice any rain, but at the bottom of our street, there was an accumulation of sand where it levels out, so it implies there was rain. But it looks like many areas of the county got a quarter of an inch of rain, but most of them got less than a tenth. Our beloved Poway said 0.07 of an inch of rain. And I know that filled your rain barrel, but how many square feet of roof?
A lot of square, yes. A lot of square feet too.
Filled one rain barrel.
To gather that rain.
Was it overflowing?
It was,
good. So it did help dust off
I didn't even know it was going to rain, to be honest with you. I mean, had they talked about it?
They did. We had a number of customers that were talking about it, coming in saying they want to get some fertilizer because it's supposed to rain.
Very good.
I had a customer tell me that on Thursday, he said, well, you guys have a good day. You probably won't have a lot of people here tomorrow because of the rain.
Yeah.
I said, no, most gardeners are okay with the rain. They'll be here anyway.
I thought that as well. And look at my dome head. I thought the rain and the clouds would protect me from the sun. And it did not. It did not. Yes. I was listening to the news. It was Sunday afternoon. I was listening to the news, and a local surfer weather weekend weather forecaster was on talking about we're expecting a vigorous storm. We're going to get at least a half an inch of rain. And on Sunday was very certain about the Thursday into Friday rain. And I thought, I'm not usually that certain, nor is the National Weather Service. And what are we looking at? And it did kind of mellow out. The forecast mellowed out as the week progressed.
Right.
And the upcoming week, we're supposed to have a little bit of overcast. We're supposed to have a more decent week. But there are underlying forecasts of possible precip later out in the week. Nothing at all certain.
It also got hot earlier in the week.
The week before.
Oh, was it the week before?
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that with some of the plant issues that people were bringing in.
It was. Yeah. The weather changes very, very quickly here. Did you guys do any yard or garden? Oh, no. Ho.
Hey, how about if I talk about classes?
Well, are there classes coming
up? There are classes, in fact. In San Diego at 9 o'clock, James is going to do a class on lawn care. And we haven't had that in a while. We did a class a while back in Poway, but I think that's an important class. A lot of people come in with tons of lawn issues, whether they think it's fungal or grubs.
You're not lawn shaming now, are you?
Right. No, no. I like lawns. I think everyone should have a small lawn. Of real grass, not the artificial stuff. Anyway, so San Diego, high-fiving in the studio.
Okay.
Okay, San Diego Lawn Care, 9 o'clock with James, and at 9:30 in Poway, Success in Your Summer Garden with Richard Wright. And then next week, another San Diego class will be pollinators. Ryan's going to do a class on pollinators, and we're doing a class on organic insect control, and I think I'm doing that.
You think? I think. Is that the PowerPoint?
It's the PowerPoint. We're going to need
How are we going to cover the skylight with Casey out of town?
Oh, goodness. I will do it. I'll climb up there.
Okay. Okay. That is an entertaining show, your PowerPoint presentation. At least that's what I've heard told.
You don't go to it? You've actually sat through it. At least you've sat through it enough because I've done it enough times. You've sat through different portions of it.
You've probably got the whole thing.
That's funny.
That's how I used to watch movies on deployments. Come back and go, oh, if you watch it in the beginning, this makes a whole lot more sense.
You've come in at the end.
I'd catch 30 minutes here one time and 7 minutes here another, and I never really knew the whole
story. Are you one of those guys that'll walk in late and then bug your buddies over and over? What was this person? Why were they here?
No.
No? Are you sure?
I am sure because I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either. Did you do anything in the yard or garden this week, Mark Mahady?
No, I didn't. I mean, I walked around, looked at things, and things seemed to be doing well, so...
We did some stuff. I got more vegetables in and weeded. I think Capri yesterday told me she pulled about 300, this was her number, 300 Colrotaria seedlings out.
Wow.
She counts them?
Well, there are far more than 300.
Did she do them individually?
One at a time, pulled them out.
Not individually, but one at a time?
One at a time.
Okay.
No, I was reinforcing your individual.
Oh, okay.
One at a time.
I thought you were correct. I'm used to being corrected, so I wasn't sure. I've done quite a bit of planting this last week, 2 weeks, and added to it. And I added way too many seeds in a small trellised area. Two different types of cucumber seeds and beans. And there's just no way that they're going to all survive in the same spot. But... I, for the first time in my life, used mycorrhiza I was planting.
Well, I would dispute that because you probably have used Dr. Earth or EB Stone fertilizers, both of which are inoculated with mycorrhizae fungi. So what you're saying perhaps is you've used it independent of those fertilizers.
Darn you, George Allman. You're right. You're absolutely right. I guess we can all go home now.
So you put in the regular...
And they're doing really well. So I was going to suggest that it was the mycorrhiza, but I did not do my control group. So I have no idea because I didn't not do it to some. But they're doing really well. And Mark had intimated that it was hot a week or two ago. And the veggies love that. Tomatoes love that.
Yeah,
my tomatoes and peppers are happy. But I'm sure it's because of the mycorrhiza. And I found some leftover diatomaceous earth, and I put that around because one of my peppers, the first night it was in the ground, got the top bitten off of it. The stem was rasped, so I'm thinking probably sow bugs or something got up there. So I put a bunch of diatomaceous earth around it, and I have had no damage since.
What about cutworms, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
There could have been plenty, and there was earwigs. And
yeah, DE is good, but once it gets wet, it starts becoming less effective.
To agreed.
The point of not effective.
But when I put it down, it was dry. So those first bugs.
First ones were wiped out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I did find some because it had, the water had grown over it and caked it where I dumped it in a little heavy. And I made it dust again. I sprinkled it over the seedlings or the seeds that I'd planted so that when they come up, something won't get to them because the diatom, the DE, as you say, because you're so hip.
That's what all the cool kids say.
The DE will take care of it. That's my hope. Do you guys overplant or do you properly plant?
I overplant.
Typically. I wouldn't say I properly plant, but I don't overplant.
You know, I planted too many tomatoes this year, but I did space them more than normal.
I mean, I typically space adequately, but I do overplant. I tend to put a lot of stuff.
Well, what is overplanting if you space adequately?
Like, I don't need this many of these or, you know, too many tomato plants or too many lettuce or something.
So you're getting too many tomatoes? Because I don't remember you bringing them into the nursery to share the excess. I'm thinking back.
Yeah. Well, last year actually was a poor tomato crop for some reason. One of my worst. I think I told you that. Yeah, last year was everything else worked really well, but last year was a horrible tomato crop.
It's funny how that happens. I mean, that it's, I shouldn't say cyclical, but it's not. But some years things thrive and some years, and I don't know that I've changed things.
I don't think from changing that, you know, the same kind of habits,
right,
doing things very similar, basically just didn't work as well.
Well, during mild winters, the tomato psyllid, I think I remember reading something once, and it overwinters closer. It stays more north during warm winters. Otherwise, it heads south during the cooler temperatures down into Mexico and Baja. And during mild winters, it stays closer so that it can affect our tomatoes sooner. Once they bite the plant, it won't produce beyond the bite. It won't produce fruit. And I don't know, this year seemed like a fairly mild winter. And I hope my beautiful green mycorrhiza treated tomatoes do not succumb. And I'm wondering if last year I didn't. This is where you speak. You guys can say a word.
I'm thinking about that. That might very well be true. Last year just didn't work well, but the year before was very good. And the year prior, several years in a row, consecutive years, were great bumper crops of tomatoes, but last year not so much.
Okay.
So perhaps it was a weather thing in the psyllid. I don't know. I didn't see any real evidence of disease. The plants looked relatively healthy, but they weren't producing.
Because they'd been bitten by the psyllid and
maybe
didn't produce
so
beyond the bites. That's
your story and you're
theory
sticking to it?
Yes. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken has the morning off, hopefully sleeping. I know what clover is. What's crimson?
There's a crimson clover.
Yeah, but it's crimson and clover in the song.
But it's a good segue for the 9 o'clock class in Poway today on lawn care.
Oh, I don't think there is a 9 o'clock class in Poway today.
It's in San Diego.
I meant to say San Diego, but I did say that incorrect. You're correct. Thank you. In San Diego, a good segue for the San Diego store's 9 o'clock lawn care.
Why would that be?
To get rid of that clover in your lawn, those oxalis.
You think that will be
discussed? I'm sure that's going to be a topic of discussion. Absolutely.
Okay, well, which one of you is going to look up crimson in the crimson and clover and help us relate this to garden talk before the end of the show.
I'll get to it before the end of the show. Okay. But we were talking about mycorrhizae fungi, and I'll bet you some folks out there are pondering what that is because we keep saying it.
I think probably not very many.
Not many?
Yeah.
What is it, in your opinion? What do you know it as?
The number of people who are listening?
No.
Mycorrhizae? You have to say it.
The symbiotic relationship?
No, that's not your phrase.
Microbial activity.
It's a fungus.
It's a fungus. A specialized fungus.
Are they microbes?
No, they're fungi.
They're fungi.
A specialized fungus that develops a symbiotic relationship with roots and extends out to bring in, as I'm using my fingers to explain this, to bring in nutrients in exchange for some of the carbohydrates from the plant. And it's estimated that about 90% of all the world's plants have some kind of symbiotic relationship with fungi.
Excellent.
It is.
Are you going to explain symbiosis now?
Symbiotics. They share. They do things for the benefit
mutually
of each
beneficial.
Other.
Mutually beneficial.
Yes. In this case, yeah. Because there are other.
Would you liken it to I was going to say like a parasite, but it's a mutual.
No.
Well, it kind of is because they hang out together.
They do.
It's like a parasite, but totally different. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. Who can argue with that?
Okay, thank you. Yes. I appreciate that very much. If you would like to give us a call, the number is 888-344-1170. And the mycorrhizae fungi are part of the soil web.
They make
things happen down there.
They make a healthy soil. And as we alluded to in the beginning, most of the organics, the complete organic fertilizers, have that inoculated in it. So it comes with
But you also presumed that I always use Dr. Earth or
another organic fertilizer. No, I didn't. I said you
had.
I have
in the past.
I know you have. Yeah.
Okay.
So I wasn't presuming facts.
But I didn't
not
have
evidence,
any. I didn't
right.
have any this year.
Right.
So what did you use? Which?
I'm not going there.
Oh.
Actually, I used a non-organic fertilizer with some organic ingredients.
So I know what you used, and then but did you buy the pack of the Mycos? Mycorrhizae fungi?
No, actually, I bought the bigger pack that we had late last year.
All right.
In the resealable pouch, the resealable bag. You do know what I used?
Well, based on what you said, I'm going to assume I know what you use, yes.
And it smells very organic-y. There is a lot of organic in it. It's interesting, but it is not because it has some chemical supplements. And just while I want to talk more about planting veggies because we're right in the middle of tomatoes and peppers and squash. Oh, my. But,
we are. Hence the class today in Poway.
Oh, what is that?
Success in your summer garden.
Oh, that's an excellent topic for... It's timely.
Very timely.
But fertilizer, all of it, has been going up this year. And
oh, God, yeah. I mean, interesting. I would be interested. I haven't seen it, so you hear about it on the news because of the...
All the sourcing of it. So yeah. I'm not, what I would suggest is if you have plans to fertilize for the rest of 2022, I would consider purchasing your fertilizer now.
Stocking up a little bit?
A little bit. Not crazy.
Right.
But I'm.
It's only going to go up?
I'm guessing it's going to be more next year and maybe even fall of this year. I think
it's
most
more
of
now.
The,
it's you know it, it's
and I think that increase is baked in for right now, and contracts are still current with what's in the supply chain now. So the only thing that'll affect it would be the cost of transport, fuel, and things. But the rest of it, it wouldn't be bad to have a rest of the year supply on hand. Would be my suggestion. Is that a reasonable suggestion?
It's a very good yes.
Okay, I have done that a little bit myself. But we were talking about planting. I planted tomatoes, peppers, and some seeds, but I still have a lot to do, and I've got to get my winter squash out and all of the running squash and melons. What have you guys done? Have you done anything?
Nothing.
Well, we put some pumpkins in, and as we've done last year, we put a bunch of pumpkins and squash.
Seeds or starts?
Starts in both, and underneath the fruit trees, because there's a thick, thick layer of mulch. They get lots of water. They hold the water. Well, I shouldn't say they get lots of water. They get weekly water, but they hold it well, and out the pumpkins come, and they just run.
So you share the water from the tree. Do you have to supplement them during the...
Oh, I supplement them just to start. It seems that once in a while in the very heat of the summer, I'll give them a little extra water, but typically not. There's enough mulch there to hold it where they work.
Interesting.
And there's shade. Remember that, you know, where the roots are, there's some shade from the canopy of the trees. It just seems to work well.
And the plants grow out into the sun where they need to be.
Yeah.
That's...
It's kind of like the permaculture food web, food forest
idea.
That's
brilliant, George. Absolutely brilliant.
We had the largest pumpkin I've ever grown last year, but we didn't harvest it in time, and it split. And it was so disappointing when it split. It was huge. It was a Big Max.
Because you didn't water it enough during the week, because you just
the plant was lush green. It was doing well. The plant just the pumpkin said, "I'm done."
That's very sad.
Did it
then melt into the ground?
And then it stunk. It's horrible.
They're disgusting. Yeah. Their demise is disgusting.
It is.
But it's probably feeding your soil web and encouraging.
Well.
Microbial activity.
Well, I was going to say microbial, but it's going to encourage is more pumpkins because all those seeds are in the same
spot.
They're
still there.
Just waiting for them to start popping. Yeah.
I was noticing some from the rain. We had significant rain, what was it, about 3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I was noticing some seeds starting to sprout out of some of the dirt that had washed down my driveway and from the neighbor's yard. I need to still go collect all the mulch that has been distributed throughout my yard and put it under my trees, still on the driveway. I collected it off the lawn. The lawnmower is perfect for that. Bags it right up, and then I can just go walk over to the basins and put it right back down again.
That's a good plan.
Do you do squash, pumpkins, any of that stuff, Marky?
No.
You're all in containers or almost all in containers, right?
All in containers, yeah. I've done squash in containers before, but I haven't done it in a couple of years.
We had a customer in, came back, and I was helping her because she was displeased because she had purchased, what was it, lettuce and carrot seeds. And her knowing somebody told her that was just, that knowing somebody mocked this person for planting those seeds at this time of the year. And this person was very disappointed that we would sell such a thing at this time of the year. Should that be an issue?
No.
For lettuce right now? You'd probably get one more crop from seed
I would
at
think
this
so.
Point. Absolutely.
And
carrots almost all year. In fact, our little cheat sheet that we hand out says carrots all year for San Diego.
And leaf lettuce is pretty darn close. Roy grows leaf lettuce up at Cadence year-round almost, except
for in August, right?
July, August, or late July. He doesn't plant for a month.
Right.
And as long as it's not being harvested. Coast year-round.
Yeah,
coast
absolutely.
Year-round.
So where, this will bring us to the lettuce-growing capital
of the world.
Do you know where the winter lettuce-growing capital of the world? Do you guys know where that is?
I do
Imperial
not.
Valley?
No, it's just east of there.
Where?
Well, when you drive into Yuma, there's a huge sign that says, Welcome to Yuma, the winter lettuce-growing capital of the world.
It's basically the Imperial Valley, because you go right over to it. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'll let you go that far. But it's interesting. I think it's interesting. That's where you grow lettuce in the summer. I mean, in the winter.
Right.
But as the weather warms up in the desert, then they move over to the Southern California area. And then as it warms up in Southern California, they move up to Northern California coast and they rotate where it's going to grow, which makes perfect sense to me, but I'd never considered it till I drove through
you saw the sign.
Did you stop at
the lettuce museum?
Is there a lettuce museum? Oh, you're just
sense.
Making that up. I would stop at the lettuce museum.
Actually, I probably would as well. So,
not that makes it right or anything, but... I'm going to go back to what we're planting. So are you done?
No.
It's still early.
We haven't done some of the squash, like butternut squash, which keeps forever.
Once
you harvest it, you stick it somewhere. As long as it's cool and dry, it keeps forever. I think we ate the last one from the harvest like in February of this year.
I may have done some testing for a longer period than that.
Well, the sad thing is when you leave them out somewhere and they start to rot and you get disappointed that you saved it. I should have cooked it last week and then
You remember the potatoes that I harvested and then was going to save to replant so you'd never have to buy another seed potato again?
Right.
They're still in their crates.
Rotting away?
Well, I think they're pretty much gone. Remember I was telling you about the webbing of spider mites
on
them?
Oh, yes, you did mention that. Yeah.
I never planted them.
There's sweet potato growing, a big long stalk right now is growing in the bowl. I need to go put that in the ground.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. I bought a sweet potato last fall when we had them in 4-inch pots, and it's still sitting in its 4-inch pot, and that 4-inch pot is in the basin of another pot. That's how I keep them all watered. That citrus tree that I still haven't planted.
Sweet potatoes are easy to grow, and they're
and they go across. You don't bury them the way you do.
Not the way
regular potato.
No, I just throw. I plant them like some kind of rhizome of a iris or something. Maybe that's not true because iris you kind of have a little bit hanging out. I bury it and that's it. Let it grow.
I'm sorry. What were you?
I let it grow.
You wonder why I don't listen.
It grows like a beautiful vine. It is a beautiful vine with nice flowers. It's in the Morning Glory family, so you get some pretty flowers on it as well.
Have you ever tried, either of you, to eat the tubers off of the ornamental sweet potatoes that we sell?
No.
I have not.
I wonder if they're edible.
I don't know. I would talk to someone who's been in the industry for a long time and purchases things for us.
That'd be a good idea. We had a basket. Somebody brought in a moss basket they had planted up. And all the moss stayed intact all the way around, except for where the sweet potato, the ornamental sweet potato tubers were. And there was a rim all the way around the basket that we had to repack the moss because the tubers had kind of destroyed what was there and pushed through it. But other than that, everything was still intact. Isn't that interesting?
Very.
You don't mean that.
No.
You don't mean it at all. You said some of the squash you planted were from seed?
Yes.
And how long did it take them to germinate? Because it's been almost a week.
I was going to say 10 days.
And the soil's cool. Every time it starts to get hot, like it was 2 weeks ago, which you wanted to talk about, and I wouldn't let you, but we will do it shortly. Soon. And then we've had two cool storms since then, and the nights have been cool, so it's delaying my germination, which is bothering me.
But the other side of...
No, go ahead.
The other side of having some cool nights is that you don't have to water quite as much.
Yeah, I don't. When you're trying to germinate and get things going, I don't think that's a benefit. I dispute that, Mister.
You're saying you don't have to water as much. Water's a commodity.
It's valuable. Expensive.
Yes. Yeah. It's
precious.
It's precious.
That's why you're collecting it off of the many square feet of roof.
Exactly, to keep our plants alive.
All right. Well, as promised, we will be talking about the heat and the results of the heat from a couple of weeks ago very, very soon. However, right now, if you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. That is 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. We're going to take a break and be back with more after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. When we went into the break, we were talking about the heat. I promised you we would talk about heat, and I'm sure everybody stuck through the break because they wanted to hear about heat. What about it, gentlemen? Mark Mahady, you were going to talk about it. Remember, you were practicing.
No, I was just going to say it was whatever it was.
2 weeks
days ago. I had some issues
with
some roses. The heat just burnt the buds. I'm assuming, I say that I gave it enough water, but I probably didn't.
I appreciate you, rethinking your answer, because the first words out of my mouth when you said your rose buds were burned was, are you sure they got enough water? And you immediately and defensively said yes.
Correct.
But now you've thought through it a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that I didn't.
Okay.
Most probably likely I didn't, but... Yeah, it was insane that how quickly they...
It doesn't take long,
no,
does
it? Doesn't
especially in containers.
Right.
And we had, 4 or 5 days of 90-plus degrees.
We did, and we're seeing the ramifications of it now, the aftermath.
Thereof?
Yeah, as people are coming in with leaves.
Faulty plants?
Something happened to this plant. So, it was fine, and now it has all these burnt edges, et cetera.
I had an interesting exchange with a customer who brought back a forsythia, and it was still in its pot, and it has been for about a month. Not a big deal as long as it gets watered, but it got dry clearly, and no problem. I'll give you credit for it. But a lot of things over the last week have started to show up from that heat.
Yeah, it's you have to water your plants. I mean, you can blame everybody else, but it's watering.
Yeah, I have learned to put the things that I keep in containers too long, the ones that I'm going to plant tomorrow, mañana, siempre mañana, I'm going to plant them. But I've moved them so they're near a hose now.
Right, it makes
sense. And that seems to help keep them alive. I still have two avocado trees that have been in their pots near a hose for over a year now. Year and a half, I think we're going on. And wow. I planted one of the four, and now I just have three more to go. So I'm 25% done.
I was going to say, you'll have it done, what, 2000?
They'll grow larger and be more productive once you get them in the ground.
And use much less water,
much
too.
Much less water, yeah.
I'm quite penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah, as a lot of us are.
I also noticed yesterday a couple of David Austin roses that were returned. Still in their pots, beautiful. They were budded and blooming, but they had some holes in the leaves. And I'm pretty sure that's why they came back. And rose slug.
Bristly rose slug, yeah.
Yeah. It's a common ailment. Common pest on roses. It's usually the first or second one. I guess aphids would probably be the first one, and rose slugs the second one. And it's here now, and it is something that is easily treated if you choose.
If you treat it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, we had an aphid problem on one of the roses at the Poway store out front. We put an organic solution on it, but when I was spraying, I found some rose slugs on it as well.
Did you think it take care?
Oh, it did. I watched them just slip off the leaf.
You know,
fall
I did
to the ground.
Oh, really? Yeah. Immediately?
Yeah, I think
that's the stuff you can't use in the sun, right?
Correct.
Because it might bother the leaves. Excellent. What else would you use for? Well, any of the contact sprays or controls will do a good job of controlling the bristly rose slug, and it blends very well with the leaves, same almost exact color. It's well camouflaged, and it usually hangs out on the undersides of the leaves. Why do we not recommend soil systemics for that?
I don't recommend soil systemics for any of it, so go ahead
for
tell
pots?
Me why.
Well, no.
If it's in a pot, you can't use it for a pot.
Because it takes it too long to get up into the plant, and they do so much damage so quickly. If you have the veins of the leaves left intact and not much else, then it's probably the rose slug that's doing the damage.
Most
and
likely
they do
it is,
a ton of it.
You'll have a skeletonized plant in a matter of no time at all.
Are you maturing? Your voice sounds like it's changing.
I'm growing
finally?
Up. Finally.
Finally.
I'm here.
Going to have a growth spurt soon.
Yeah, maybe so.
Sorry. I do have two roses that I bought this year that are still in containers because I haven't put them in the ground yet, which I guess would make sense. But they are near the water, and so they are blooming and growing. And am I supposed to be looking at what you're pointing at on the screen?
No, it's a touch screen, so I'm just...
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you use on your roses, George, since you... bad mouth. This is soil systemics.
I mean, they do work, and they're very useful. I just like to use the organics on it. So I will use horticultural oil, neem oil, insecticidal soap will take care of the rose slug, as will spinosad. And of interest, though, is it's not a true slug, as you know. It's a sawfly larvae, the larvae of a fly.
And that's why the
spinosad is effective.
And why the BT
is not.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Now, I don't know how Bob knew this, but Bob knows that 6 or 8 months ago, I put a head of garlic in my refrigerator to give it the winter chill that it might like, the hardneck. And so he's calling to mock me for it still being in my refrigerator. I'm assuming that's what you're calling about, Bob. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
Oh, okay, good. How can we help you this morning? Good morning.
Yeah, when I bought 6 months ago, I'm just trying to determine, it's 4 months later, almost five, when do I pull them out of the ground?
That's an excellent question, Mr. Allman. What would you say, since you were just talking
about... I normally wait for the tops to start kind of browning up, and then I'll pull them out.
How do your tops look, Bob?
They're starting to brown a little bit.
There you go. As they start drying out, I pull them out of the ground.
Yeah. Normally, they said garlic... maybe 6 months. and I could not find nothing nowhere that says 5 months, 6 months, other than what you just said about browning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, That's funny. I have some garlic at home that I didn't harvest last year that has come up and done really well this winter, and it's starting to brown at the top, and I thought it was just because I haven't watered.
Well, I'm not. Yeah, if it's browning just at the tip, I'm talking about the whole stem, the whole green part starting to brown up as it's drying, as it's done. Then you pull it out.
It would seem like it's about time.
Yeah, it's about time.
How much did you plant, Bob? And the reason I'm asking is harvest one and see if you have a nice head underground, and if so, then you can continue.
Yeah, that's a good thought. My wife wanted me to wait 6 months, and I wasn't sure since I couldn't find no information nowhere.
In the interest of family peace, I would suggest that you wait that 6 months and double check with your wife. Don't take into account what we say here. Make sure you do what she says.
I can always pull one out, fill the dirt back in so she would never know.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. And tell her a gopher got to it.
And we
won't
say anything on the radio about it.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Bob. Thanks for the call, and good luck with the garlic and your domestic situation.
Okay, take care.
You too.
That's how we do it. Thanks, Bob. That's very funny.
Yeah.
I don't know whether to take the next call. It's from Rose in Escondido.
Well, speaking of roses, we can just talk about roses.
And then not talk
and
to
not
her?
And not talk to Rose.
Somebody, I'm trying to remember who it was, a customer told me this last week they had missed hearing from Rose in Escondido, and I thought, why? You don't have enough family banter at your own house? Should we do it?
Of course.
It's up to you. You've got the controls there.
All right. Why don't we go up to Escondido and speak to Rose? Good morning, Rose. How are you this fine morning? And please don't make bad alignment jokes. That's for the next show. Rose, are you there?
Wow. Well, I was just thinking how unwelcoming. And maybe that's why no one's following up. That wasn't very nice. You guys, you talking about roses and rose calls. That would be, thank you, Rose. Not, you know, flip a coin. Do we take her call?
Well, for those of you who may be unaware, Rose is my lovely younger sister. And I just never know where Rose is going to go in the morning. So we've had good conversations these last couple of weeks, so I guess we can try. I apologize, Rose, for maybe being a little harsh prior to you calling in. But I did get a text from my sister who was telling me about the missing the alignment and will that affect my tires. And I really think that would be a better call for Auto Talk.
Okay. Well, that is correct, and thank you for passing me on.
So bring it back to Garden Talk. How can we help you this morning, Rose?
Well, this is Rose, and you guys were just talking about roses and what do you use. And many, many years ago, more than 20, I tried to grow roses, like you're probably talking about. And they require a lot of care because they are finicky. And I was going to sing the praises of Cecil Bruner, Rose.
Cecil Brunet.
In case I shouldn't tell anybody about it, because hopefully they're still available. But that is the best rose and the only rose you need. And that's what Rose from Escondido recommends.
Well, we appreciate that very much. The Cecil Bruner Polyantha or Bush Rose is my favorite rose. And it is my favorite rose because it reminds me of my mother. It's her favorite rose.
I thought you were going to say your sister and earn some points there.
Heck no. Heck no.
He doesn't want points from me.
No, I want points from my mother. Always. But there is the climbing Cecil Bruner out there. And I just got a picture from another customer yesterday of climbing Cecil Bruners that are in full bloom right now. And they are one of the most durable, disease-resistant roses that you'll find out there. They don't require much care. They are fairly drought tolerant as well, and they do
prolific,
kind of take care of themselves.
Prolific bloomers. They just bloom and bloom.
Well, the bush one blooms more than the climbing one, but the climbing one, when it is established and in full bloom, is pretty spectacular.
Well, Cecil Bruner also, I believe, is the only true, like the most pure rose, and that's what they make rose water, rose things, rose essence.
I'm gonna.
I believe that is true. Before I call,
I don't believe that. We'll look into that. But I hope you are correct, and I'm not going to correct you yet. However, last time we had a discussion like this, you had to call me back, unfortunately, after we were off the air to tell me I was right and you were wrong, but we didn't get that out on the air.
No, it wasn't. It was something I did not recall. It wasn't, and I'm not saying 100% this is accurate, but I believe I did read somewhere, and it was the making of some, maybe it was rose perfume, or it had to do with its qualities, which were the most pure.
It is a wonderful rose. It is well formed. It looks like a perfect little miniature hybrid tea before it opens up. It is fragrant. It is disease proof. I don't think I ever see any disease on it. And Rose, I thank you very much for the call. It's been a pleasure chatting with you this morning.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Goodbye. If you would like to give us a call, I'll be nicer to you than I was to my sister Rose. Give us a call at 888-344-1170. You are listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. We're going to take our last break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170, KCBQ, and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady, George Allman. Before we went into the break, we were talking roses. And I should have looked up Mr. Wiggles, because I was unfamiliar with Mr. Wiggles. Is it Mr. Wiggles?
No, it was The Wiggles.
Okay. Well, apparently everything was roses. All about roses.
Yeah, all about roses. But speaking of roses and the polyanthem that you mentioned, the Cecil Bruner.
And the polyanthem I arrived on.
We have two beautiful Cecil Bruners out front in the Poway store. So if you're visiting the Poway store, be sure to take a gander.
Yes, one is obvious. It's right there in your face when you come in. And the other's kind of hidden. We could make a treasure hunt looking for Cecil Brunet, I believe. But, Cecil Bruner. Wonderful rose. And it takes care of itself and is fragrant. So now, where else can we go to see if they don't want to come to Poway to see our rose garden?
Speaking of roses and rose gardens, we went up to the Huntington Monday of last week, and they have 4,000 roses, and they were all in bloom, and it was spectacular.
You counted them?
I read the brochure.
Oh, okay.
No, I can't get that high. but all the roses are in bloom. It's spectacular. It looks very pretty, fragrant, and just a lot of varieties to delight you, depending on what you're looking for, whether you like the old English roses, the more open and lots of fragrance and colors. It was nice. But locally, because that's up in Pasadena, locally, the Barona Casino, which we've talked about a great number of times, they have a spectacular.
This is the first spring in the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years that I have not been to the Barona Rose Garden.
Yeah, usually you do talk about it.
I know.
Yeah, we're going to go out there as soon as we get some time to do so, because even though it's smaller scale than Huntington, they're presented much better and they're easier, more easily viewed. And
well, that the pathway goes right down the middle.
Yeah, and it's nice. There's space between them. They look really nice, and they do a great job there.
I think we should ask the question that's on everybody's mind. Do you think the Rose Garden is as nice this year in David's absence since he retired? Or,
it's a good question. So we'll have to go and find out.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. And then, of course, the Balboa Park would be the other one as well.
Pretty nice.
To go see.
Everything's in flower up there.
I have not been there for a long time.
Well, it's funny you say that. I hadn't been there for years. I was there last week or whatever. Yeah, it was beautiful.
What inspired you?
Nicole wanted to go see it.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Excellent.
But the one in Balboa Park has a name. Do you guys remember the name?
It's Inez something.
Yeah, like Inez Grant Parker Memorial Rose Garden.
I wonder who they named that after.
Well, you know who that's the name right there. That's who they named it. You wonder that person's tie was or something?
No. I was right. Just
being yourself.
I was going to say silly, but it really wasn't. No. I was just being myself.
So there are lots of rose gardens to go see.
Right.
And the Barona, it just, you know, it's free. You just go to the rose garden. You don't have to go into the casino.
You drive in on the main entryway and you drive past the parking structure. And it is between the parking structure and the childcare area. There's a gorgeous hidden rose garden. It is a gem.
It truly is. Yeah.
And, I had somebody call in the nursery this week that wanted to know they were having problems with their drip irrigation being eaten all the time and how to fix that. How do you get rid of the critters? And that reminded me of the Barona Rose Garden. And what do we do to keep the critters from eating our drip lines, George?
Well, the previous garden expert there at the Barona, the rose care guy, David Lund, he put little saucers underneath a couple of the different plants. And so when his drip irrigation was dripping for the plant, one of them went into the basin first of the little saucer, and it would overflow and still water the plant, but it left water available for the squirrels and the animals, and they stopped chewing all of the irrigation lines.
Which is a great, great idea.
Yeah.
Because you're running the water anyway, so just add the saucer
right.
there.
And, yeah, you weren't adding any more. It just filled up a little bit, and the rest of it overflowed into the basin.
And that
of
gives
the
water to the rodents that are eating your drip lines.
Right.
What about the, I was going to go on with coyotes. But it's a great way, and he had not had any more problems after doing that. So
correct.
That is a wonderful tip. We will have to check that out. I noticed... I spoke to Rotary at Walter Anderson Nursery in Point Loma Wednesday morning.
Oh, okay.
I got there early before you opened at 7 a.m. to greet them. When I got there, there were already two trucks, one halfway unloaded with soils in the street. I don't know what time the first people get there, but at 10 minutes to 7, they were already unloading one dry goods truck and one greens goods truck. I guess you got to get it in there when you can before it gets crowded on that end of the
correct.
Sports arena. Now I'm trying to remember where I was headed with Rotary. Do you know why I was down there? Oh, because you guys have more roses in San Diego. The San Diego store has a better selection of roses at this point in the season, and they were in bloom, and they look gorgeous. I need to borrow some. I think you had some 4th of July still back there. We could use some climbing 4th of July's. And the selection, while we still have quite a few trees and some bushes that are, they look great. They're blooming like crazy, but they're just not as many. You still have a pretty good selection as we head through April and towards Mother's Day. They also had a wonderful selection of the hydrangeas and all the different colors still blooming.
We have a lot of hydrangeas right now too in the Poway store as well.
But once again, we sold through the roses much more quickly than I expected.
We did. And what's left, though, are gorgeous. I mean, there's a lot of blooms out there. It's pretty, but there's no real, depth on the bench.
We were also talking about Sunset Horizon or Horizon Sunset?
Yeah. Sunset Horizon.
It is a gorgeous rose. We have one planted in the obvious split space out in front of the nursery in Poway. And it starts out kind of yellow and reddish orange, and then it fades to kind of pink orange and red.
Correct.
It becomes it is a whole host of different colors at different times of its bloom cycle. It's gorgeous, and I added more to the order for Poway for next year. But if you want me to add some more to the San Diego store's order, you let me know. Do we have classes coming up as we are getting close to the end of our show?
We do have classes. San Diego, 9 o'clock, is on lawn care with James. And in Poway at 9:30, it is success in your summer garden with Richard Wright. That was hard to say.
But not necessarily success in saying that. Is that
not
correct?
Not success in saying it, just being able to have the garden grow successfully.
Okay. Do I need
which
to?
Which is more important, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do I need to apologize to my sister on the air, or are we good?
No, we're good.
Oh, you're good. I think you just did.
Yeah.
No, I asked if I should.
No.
I did not.
I think you did by saying that.
Did we?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are expecting a warm, decent week with sun. So remember to water everything. Remember to take care of everything.
Yeah.
And if you have not planted your garden yet, it is time to get the seeds of your summer squashes and things, and even the winter squashes, in the ground. Have a great weekend, everybody. Auto Talk is coming up next.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.